2006 master plan. I also one of the, I guess I can call it, founding members of the Columbia Slough Watershed Council. So I have interest from every aspect. I am part of the Kali neighborhood. I'm the quality of life person for the Kali. Now, I'd like to just talk just briefly about the micro picture, what Whitaker Ponds means to me personally. It means an awful lot to have a bit of residual urban nature in my backyard. My kids went to school there at the real Whitaker Grade School. Now we have our grandson that we take for a stroll to the ponds. He looks at the tall cottonwoods, the beavers, the work of the beavers, the ducks, the other songbirds. He looks at the carps that are right below the surface of water and throws a pebble or two at them. We go down there in the summertime to pick blackberries, and they are certainly good down there, even if the picking is hard on your hands and your clothing. And I like to add that as we enjoy Whitaker Ponds, we feel that Lakeside Little League enjoys it just as much. But again, I like to stress that they will have a home, and only when they have a new home that they will be asked to leave. And I wonder if I could just make a quick pitch that is off the subject here on Colwood Golf Course, the 47 acres that are going to be converted to industrial commercial, and it certainly would be a great loss to Cully and the entire city if that happens. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Hi, Mayor, Councilman. My name is Dan Thomas. I actually played at Lakeside Whitaker Little League. I actually brought a picture here. I didn't plan on being here. I actually flew in for this. This picture was taken in 1968, and Mr. Falbel sitting back there, who was 80-some years old. His son sitting there. It's in the picture along with me. I'm also a baseball player. I believe in baseball. The three gentlemen that spoke earlier hit it right on the head. The city park plan, that's a great alternative, but I was also, for 6 years, a varsity baseball coach at Madison and Wilsonville High School. The time you spend with kids working on fields, the stuff not playing baseball, is invaluable time that you cannot replace that. The old term, baseball is life, believe me, it's more than just about playing the game of baseball. The things that I've learned playing baseball about life, I manage 5,500 people right now. I refer to baseball every single day because of it. The values that I was taught in baseball, the responsibilities, showing up on time, those type things are things that you take through life. Your plan, I think it's a beautiful plan. I think it can coexist with the current baseball fields. One of the things that I need to tell you also, one of the businesses, the Portland Auto Auction, is actually what I'm responsible for. I own a piece of property on Columbia Boulevard at 15th and Columbia. I have a lot of vandalism at times from kids that don't have the opportunity to maybe be playing baseball. One of the gentlemen made a comment about where the new location would be. I know that area very well, and I don't know if that's the perfect environment of having kids be next to at times. One of the things, though, that's important about the Lakeside Little League is, you know, the low-income families that are around that area, there's a lot of single families, parent families. And if you have two or three young kids, and if the age differs, if half the fields are up at another location, the other half are there, a lot of the parents can't go to both fields. There's no possible way. So if you got an 8-year-old and a 14-year-old, there's no possible way you can attend both functions, and that'll make some people not even show up. I'll finish by saying it says a no human impact zone. My question is, what impact does it have on humans? Kids will have their lives, you know, kids can have their lives, and our city can work together to make this thing work. And I really believe that, you know, the trees and everything that's down there will coexist with baseball. It has for 55 years, and I'm living proof, and so is our people here. So thank you.
Thank you. Mayor Potter, Commissioners, my name is Mike Houck. I'm here today representing the Portland Park Board. I was asked to represent the Park Board on the Planning Committee. And I want to start out, actually, by mentioning that I just came from the Hilton Hotel where Richard Louv, who wrote a very influential book that's really incredibly popular across the country called Last Child in the Woods. And it's about nature deficit and the problems we're facing in the United States with kids spending more time on computers than they are out of doors. And I want to ask you, have you been, any of you been to Explorando of Columbia SLU? Because it's been referenced several times today. We've heard a lot about low-income kids. We've heard a lot about the impact of kids from baseball and versus nature study, which I don't think it is an either-or situation here. The first Explorando I went to out in the Columbia SLU, we had 450 folks from the Hispanic community. The Columbia SLU has a very large Hispanic population. 450 people showed up on one day to get in canoes and go out on the ponds at Whitaker Pond. It was a fabulous experience. I know they've done it every year. I have not been in recent years, but I would encourage you to go out there to see firsthand the impact that this resource, the environmental education opportunities that Whitaker Ponds represents. In my opinion, this is not about baseball or a nature study area. In fact, I'm actually shocked. I thought the committee did a very good job, and Portland Parks and Recreation did a very good job of addressing the concerns of the folks concerned about loss of Little League. And I'm actually a little surprised that they're even here today, because I felt that there had been consensus on our committee. That said, in my opinion, the presence of those baseball fields really is an accident of history. Yes, they happen to be there. Imagine today making a decision to put ball fields on the top of Powell Butte or in the middle of Oak's Bottom. We would never think of doing that in a million years. What we need to do is take a look at creating a comprehensive park system that includes, and I played athletics all through high school. I managed to get through college on a scholarship. I believe fervently in the importance of athletics in kids' lives, but I also believe that there's a place for baseball. There are alternative sites, and there's a place for nature study in areas like Whitaker Ponds. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Next is Chuck Falbo, Larry Mills, Mary Lou Falbo, and they'll be followed by Curtis Falbo, Jim Lorenz, and Jenny Covington.
Thanks for being here today, folks. If you'd state your name for the record, we'd appreciate it. You each have 2 minutes, and so whoever wants to begin, please.
It's supposed to be three.
You want to go first? I think I'll be ladies first. Thank you for receiving us today. First of all, I'm going to talk, or I speak, as a mom, a wife, a grandmother, and a volunteer. We spent a lot of years down at Lakeside. I call it Lakeside because it just happens to be a name that one of my younger sons chose for the park down there in a contest. And he won a $25 savings bond for naming it. But this is kind of off the subject. There's been three generations in our family that have worked there at that park and played and coached and volunteered. The youngest one that's coached is a granddaughter of mine, of ours. She'd be here today testifying, but she has finals this morning. This is a place where all my children have grown up. I voted for the Whitaker Ponds project down there when it was on the ballot because I'm an environmentalist at heart. I think we all are. But there's been a coexistence of Whitaker or Lakeside Little League with Whitaker Ponds down there for how many years now already? They have coexisted. This is one of the safest places in the city where children and adults and families can go and participate and be together. Thank you.
My name is Chuck Falvo, and I went to Peninsula Grade School, Woodlawn, Benson, a World War II veteran, and I've served in all theaters of the war, and I'm a volunteer. I had notes all prepared, but I don't know. I just couldn't put down what I really wanted to say. All I say that I never thought I'd be here after work. I'm the last one of the group that built the fields, and I really never thought I'd be here explaining why we should retain these fields because it's been so successful. We've had probably 35 to 45,000 kids go through there. And like I say, we've existed, coexisted with the ponds, and the animals never leave. They just go into the brush and they come back out. We're only there about 3.5 months anyway. Everything is built, was built by a volunteer, no cost to the city, speak of other than chain link fence and on one field only, the big field. And we have the last 2 or 3 years, we've had high schools using that field, Lincoln, Central Catholic, Grant. And the reason we built that field back in 68, the big field, is we didn't have enough fields. And to this day, we don't have enough playing fields. And this is already built. And all we have need for that facilities for our function is a water line and hook up to the sewer. And that's it. They can put picnic tables, the park bureau can, and we got a city park. It's already there. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. My name is Larry Mills. I live at 1406 North Winchell over in the Kenton neighborhood, and thanks for letting me talk. I do have a relationship here. This is my sister, and this is my brother-in-law. And all I'd like to say is, his passion, particularly Chuck, because he's been a real driving force behind this, and there's been a tremendous amount of volunteers that have worked with him, a tremendous amount, but he's been an inspiration to me. It's the kind of people like that that put years and years of hard labor into something like this. It's just an inspiration to a lot of people. I've never really played it at the Little League down there, but I've seen a lot of the activities down there, and I know that's been going on for generations, and I know the hundreds or thousands and thousands of young people that have benefited from this. I happen to be an owner of a restaurant pub, and I was talking to just several of my patrons last night about, what was coming up here and what was being considered. And three of them had all, and actually the first three that I talked to had all played ball at Whittaker. One of my employees said, now my son is playing T-ball down there. Been a while since I'd been down there. He'd gone to Whittaker School. And he said, when I went down there, it was sort of like coming home. It was like a home to him when he was a young man growing up. A couple of other observations. There's apparently been little or any discussion in this master plan regarding any kind of coexistence with the existing uses. And we can see it all around the city, examples of where that's at. I play golf once in a while, go out to Heron Lakes. We have a Blue Heron Rookery right next to the golf course. A couple process issues. I know Susan Barthel. I've worked with her on issues with the Kenton neighborhood and Columbia Slough Watershed Council. I've been on a number of citizen advisory committees myself, and I find it kind of unusual that you have a city employee that's a member of the committee. Normally, these are citizen committees, and staff people act in an advisory capacity. One last thing, the only other thing I was going to say is that, also the committee has 9 members. You have one person representing the present uses on that committee.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Next are Curtis Falbo, Jim Lorenz, and Jenny Covington, and they'll be followed by Christy and Dave Covington.
Thanks for being here, folks.
Thank you.
When you speak, please state your name for the record, and you each have 2 minutes.
Ladies first.
My name is Jennifer Covington. Lakeside has had 50 years of fun. All the people during all the years put a lot of effort into the fields, the kids, the teams, the coaching, and everything else. They made it the best it could be. They were always helpful to everybody, especially the coaches. Lakeside fields are the only fields in the area. I don't know of any other parks in our neighborhood. It is the place where we all gathered. My whole family was there, and lots of other families too. I made a lot of friends, and my parents did too, especially with the Falbo family. They are the nicest people, and they have been there forever. My mother was the president of Lakeside, so I saw what she mostly did. She was always making things work and dealing with any problems. Our dining room table was full of papers every night. There were so many kids that had paperwork that they had to sort through so they could play. They were always making things better and finding kids that wanted to play. But whatever they were doing, it was always good. I have been playing since T-ball, and most of those years were at Lakeside. They helped me so much. I learned so much from Lily Falbo that I am almost always on the pitcher's mound. Thinking of the Falbo family, and especially seeing them, puts a smile on my face and reminds me of how much they helped me and how much fun it was. I especially remember playing on the Falbo field when I got old enough. I felt very special and very proud. I can't imagine that would go away. I don't understand. I know they want to preserve for nature, but I don't see why we can't do both. I've seen deer on our field, and I remember when we were painting the concession stand that my uncle saved a hawk that had built the nest. It is so beautiful there, and I enjoy the nature and playing softball too. It would be a shame if the fields were destroyed.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Jenny.
My name is Jim Lorenz. I'm the Vice President of Baseball for Hollywood Little League in Northeast Portland, and I'm also the Assistant District Administrator for Junior, Senior, and Big League Baseball for District 1 of Oregon Little League, which encompasses teams from Northeast Portland, North Portland, and down the Columbia Corridor all the way to Clatskanie. I've heard many numbers today come up as far as the number of people that are impacted by this change of removing the ball fields. And my calculations are that on an annual basis, I mean, we host spring and fall baseball down at the Lakeside Fields and Whitaker Ponds and experience about 15,000 player visits a year, which is considerable. And again, it affects kids throughout District 1 Little League, which goes down to Clatskanie all the way to Northeast Portland. This summer in July, this facility is going to host the state Little League tournament. I'm sure many of you followed Murray Hill last season in August in the Little League World Series. They had to win the state tournament to get there. They had to win one more tournament to get to the Little League World Series. I mean, it's a big event, and Lakeside's really the only place in northeast Portland and in District 1 Little League that can host an event like this. The replacement of the facility, the plan as it exists, does not sufficiently address the acceptable replacement. There's no budget in this plan document related to replacing the baseball fields. The language is weak. There's a lot of shoulds about the it should be replaced. I just ask that you seriously consider the plan and put in, if you're going to replace it, put in a plan that benefits everyone, that's not weak in areas of protecting baseball.
Thank you.
My name is Curtis Falbo. I played on these fields when I was a young boy. I want to state some facts. Fact, Cully Neighborhood, one of the largest in the city of Portland, has been identified as the most park deficient. Fact, there are no suitable sites at this time for our community-based volunteer-operated organization to be forced to move to. Fact, I consider myself a conscientious environmentalist and respect the work that all parties involved have put forth concerning this master plan. However, the focus has felt narrow and non-inclusive, with a rubber stamp undercurrent as to what the Ponds organization feels they ultimately want to end up with. In short,
There has been little wiggle room on their part to ensure our ball fields remain. Fact, it is sad yet probable that this natural area will end up dividing people within our own neighborhood, people I know and respect, yet do not share our history and our sweat equity, if you will, with the children and now parents and even grandparents that have played in and explored around these ball fields. Fact, most people involved with the planning of our most cherished park and natural area do not even live in this neighborhood, yet they seem to know what we need to do. Fact, Lakeside Leagues has maintained this site and has continuously provided a place for kids to gather and play baseball and softball and explore for over 50 years. Fact, we love the same small piece of nature that is now surrounded by heavy industry as much as our friends at Whitaker Ponds. Fact, we have coexisted with our ponds friends for the last 10 to 12 years. Fact, we oppose the Willamette Prairie concept because it forces out one community-based organization and replaces it with another. Instead, we could coexist together. Fact, Halton Tractor just developed a large parcel of land to the immediate south of the westernmost pond. Why couldn't this land have been Willamette Prairie? Fact, in just over 50 years, Lakeside Little League, formerly Whitaker Little League, has mentored over 20,000 boys and girls from our immediate boundaries. Add in tournaments surrounding league play, parents, grandparents, friends, and family, and 20,000 served turns into a whole lot more. Fact, to ensure Lakeside Little Leagues has been guaranteed a suitable location, Lakeside Little Leagues has not been guaranteed a suitable location in which to move if we are forced out of our existing home. Moreover, and this is really important here, our identity...
Sir, your time is up. Would you please wind it up?
I'm winding it up right now. The previous people had 3 minutes. We have two.
Everybody had two.
Okay, but this is important. Our identity as a league with primary use status could not be guaranteed by city officials. And I'll leave it at that. I do have a slideshow that I'd like to show the commissioners and the mayor, if I may, you know, afterwards possibly, so they can get a feel for what the park is really about. Thank you.
Thank you.
Next are Dave and Jenny Covington.
It's actually Christy Covington. Jenny Covington was my daughter that spoke.
Oh, you're right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for being here, folks. When you speak, please state your name for the record, and you each have 2 minutes.
Normally, I'd let women go first at all, in any instance, but Christy insisted that she wrap up. So I'll go ahead and throw in a few things. I wasn't originally going to speak, but the passion here for this park is real evident. I was a player agent for the league for quite a few years when Christy was president. And Jenny's story about all that paperwork sitting out on the table was really something, because it was just something. It was almost a nighttime thing. Everybody would come over and we'd go over all these kids. We were so involved with all these kids. We loved those kids. And you would even get calls late when we'd already had a cutoff, and we would never turn a kid down to play. Never. We always let them play. So, because we felt so, this thing was so important to us. But the combination of the Whitaker Ponds things seems like was never an issue, because we always treated all that, their area, with respect, and we never left garbage. We always made sure the kids cleaned it up. You know, it was all a good educational piece for them. It's too bad there couldn't be a little more inclusiveness of their programs with our kids, because it, you know, it could be a really, you know, it could double their numbers. And also the fact that you can play a game and be right in the middle of a game and see deer come trotting out behind the fence and just see the whole game pause and everybody take a deep breath and just let that sink in, and the kids see it, and it sinks in with them. I mean, it's just incredible experience, and it's something I'd hate to see go away. That's it for me.
Christy Covington, representing Lakeside Little League as past president, mother, coach, and volunteer. When I reviewed the Whitaker Ponds Master Plan, I thought highly of all the environmental efforts in the Master Plan, especially the environmental education program for school children. It's great stuff, but it's not inclusive. It's exclusive to one train of thought. The Master Plan should have broader consideration for the existing on-site use, Lakeside Little League. I began to ponder the mission of Portland Parks and Recreation and wondered why the plan seemed to exclude a component of its mission on the site. It read more like this to me: Portland Parks and Recreation contributes to the city's vitality by no longer establishing, but rather doing away with parks, specifically the Lakeside Ballpark. No longer safeguarding the park, even though the volunteers have for the last 50 years. Therefore, there is no longer a soul of the city that the park should provide for a neighborhood. There is no longer a special green space for children to recreate in, and there no longer becomes access to all, but rather only to those involved in the Ponds Environmental Program through the Great Master Plan. I voted for the Metro Open Space Measure only to find out that millions and millions of our tax dollars will be used to eliminate a current green and open space known as Lakeside Little League. Not only will we eliminate this open space, the only one available in the Cola community, but instead, the master plan directs the relocation of our children to a dump site with vents all over the site that are emitting gases. And this we do in the name and expense of Metro Open Space and call it our children's future. Resolution number 36382 advises the Metro Council that implementation of the bond measure has been extraordinarily successful. Please advise the Metro Council that some taxpaying members disagree wholeheartedly that this is not an extraordinary success. Perhaps the Metro Council should call upon the Portland City Council to pass a resolution for Portland Parks and Recreation to review its mission in its entirety, and to be true to it, even in the face of influx of millions of dollars. There does not appear to be a thought process provision or alternative that would allow for coexistence. The intent is clear: to eliminate rather than collaborate. Chuck Falbo has been the heart and soul of bringing the Lakeside Little League to form as a community through volunteerism, dedication, and hard work. The thousands upon thousands of volunteers over a half a century should not be taken for granted, and tells the story as to why Falbo Field was named. Playing baseball became a part of the fabric of our community because of him.
Ma'am, your time is up.
I urge you not to approve the Whitaker Ponds without an honest relook at a coexistence. Thank you.
Thank you. Is that it? Discussion?
I guess I'd like to ask Janet Bebb and Dave Yamashita to discuss the issue of coexistence and how that was looked at by the Master Planning Committee. And
thank you, Commissioner Salzman. I will begin and then give David a chance to address these issues as well. First, I would like to say that addressing Portland Parks and Recreation mission is very important to us, and our mission includes natural resources preservation for water and air quality, all the way through giving people an opportunity at every age to interact with nature. So people to nature is squarely part of our business, all the way through to team building and those skills that Little League brought up. Portland Parks is a tremendous supporter of the sports agenda. Sometimes we have to face some decision making and indicate what is the best use of individual parcels of land, try and come up with the best overall vision. We need more sports fields, and that is the reason that Cully property was purchased. We also need more parks in this neighborhood, in the Cully neighborhood, and it is certainly our intention with the Cully Master Plan to create a beautiful park. It's no longer the case that brownfield sites are marginalized in terms of design and what they can be for our community and neighborhood. They can be fabulous facilities, and this one will be as well. In terms of volunteerism, we can't maintain or keep any of our ball fields throughout the city without the volunteerism that we see. So we would not, and I'm impressed by the love of these citizens for this property, and it is because of volunteerism, and we understand that that is an important component of the Little League and the sports agenda. Finally, about coexistence, I think that what this master plan examined was, with the natural resource value that this represents, Ponds is a very unusual environment here. And to maximize the educational value, it takes land. It takes land for the plants to interact, for the ecology of the area to fill in and become part of itself. And the presence of ball fields is an anomaly with that vision. It would be, if we had no alternatives, if we were asking Lakeside to never have another place, we're not asking that. The master plan is indicating that they would, that coexistence is what would happen until there is a suitable place for them to go. So we're with the coexistence agenda until such time as there is an alternative, and it is a good alternative.
And by that, do you mean the alternative is built?
Exactly.
Okay, so there will be no time in which there's not a game.
Right, exactly. I would say, in terms of coexistence, you know, is it possible? In terms of a natural environment, if you have a very large environment and your ecology is such that you can handle it, you know, there are alternative methods of mowing and limiting use of herbicide. We do have E-zone and environmental protection issues with
you. Speak to that a little more. I was going to ask about that, the herbicides, how you maintain the weeds and those kinds of things.
At this point, I don't believe that there are herbicides in use. If there's anyone who can speak to that, that they can. But it is a concern.
Fertilizers?
I can't speak to that.
Okay.
I'm sorry. If there is someone, I'll find that out for you.
Please come forward. Please be brief in your response.
Yes, sir. Again, I'm Jeff Lee, former president of Lakeside Little League. We have gone extensively to use non-herbicides, and part of the volunteer program down here at Lakeside is to pull the weeds and maintain the facilities without it. We go down there by hand. We were just down there last weekend digging out the weeds and the brush and stuff in the fields in that area. We have used natural fertilizers on the fields when we've had to do that to support it for summer programs.
What is a natural fertilizer?
There's a company on Columbia Boulevard called Organicare, and basically what they do is they compost grass and other materials and make a fertilizer out of that. And then they spray that on the field. So it's all natural. It's no pesticides and other things, if you will. We made a point, as long as I've been there, to not use pesticides or fertilizers.
Can anybody help me understand, is there a distinction between a natural fertilizer and a fertilizer?
Well, there's chemical fertilizers like nitrogen where they produce it in a plant where they take all the stuff and put it together and then bring it out in granules. This is a composted fertilizer where you, in your backyard, you can take your grass clippings and leaves, compost it down and make a juice out of it, basically.
Right. No, I'm just asking, is there a distinction between that product and...
It's not an area that I'm expert in. I would say that best management practices is great. And while we have coexistence at this site, that is what we all need to be doing, is the best management of this. But best management practice is different from whether the site is used for environmental education and it is allowed to have the natural processes of an ecological area come in, as opposed to the manicured, the heavy human use, et cetera. It's simply different in terms of the habitat, the wildlife that we're able to attract, and the environment that we're able to provide that educational agenda for. Now, I'm maintaining this and saying this because I don't believe we have an either-or situation before you. We are supporting coexistence until such time as we have a very excellent alternative for this use.
I just wanted to add, one of the real threats that the league has is, if you look at the ownership map, and I'll bring it up here, that this is where the league's fields are,
And as I mentioned before, this is how they get into the site. This is the only way to get into it with a car. This piece here is owned by the school district. When we were in the planning process trying to figure out how to deal with this, the school district had put this property up for bid, and it was appraised at several million dollars, which is what we were told. So the future of this property is really not in our hands, and that's one of the issues that the committee was faced with, regardless of whether we decided to leave the fields there permanently or not. I mean, this is not in our hands. Right now, there's an organization that's in there. They've got a lease for 5 years. So up to that point, it's...
Native American Youth Association?
Not, right. No. But that is one of the real challenges, is what happens. And I think the committee felt that, given the uncertainty over this, it was better to say, look, here's a site where you could play, and you at least have that kind of assurance.
Thank you.
When is the projected building of the Thomas Cully Park?
We don't have a date. We just started, I think with the council's help, we just started the master planning process. We're selecting a consultant in a few weeks, but we're just going to have a master plan, and after that, the funding would need to be resolved.
I think we approved that in the fall bump.
That's what I was thinking, yeah. To accelerate that
master
site
plan.
Planning.
And it will definitely have sports fields. I mean, we know that much.
It's perfect for sports fields in many ways, and we will have a public process, and so we will confirm the uses, and we will certainly invite Lakeside and the advocates of sports as well as the neighborhoods to come participate and talk it through with us.
Mayor and Councilman, if I can, have any of you ever played or visited Delta Park to play sports? If you go there and participate in sports there, you are given a time slot. You're given 2 hours for your baseball game or your soccer game or whatever. You come, you show up, you play, you leave. There is no ownership. There is no sense of community. There is no ability to work the fields or anything there. It's a beautiful facility. It's a first-class location for baseball, softball, soccer, lacrosse, whatever you want to play there. But it is not a home for a little league. It is not an opportunity for us to have opening day ceremonies, closing ceremonies, host tournaments, and sell concessions. If you go up to the softball, baseball facilities at Delta Park, it has a sign right on the gate. You are not allowed to bring in your own food, let alone go sell concessions. The Little League raises one-third or more of its money every year to operate through the sale of concessions. And without the ability to do that, you are again forcing us to raise the fees we charge to the kids that play there. And this is an area that has high, low-income housing density down there. We have a lot of kids who can't afford, and we offer scholarships because Little League forces us to. We can't say you cannot play because you can't pay. And yet you're taking away an opportunity of us to raise money. So now we have to go and either get it from the kids, which they already can't pay, or get additional funds from sponsors, which are hard and few to come by.
Well, Mr. Lee, I appreciate your points, and I also heard, though, that we will have volunteer opportunities, grooming responsibility opportunities. I don't think we're looking at Thomas Cully being sort of the Delta Park as it is. So I will commit to you to work with you to make sure that the Lakeside Little League can have a sense of ownership of the new fields at Cully Park, that they can be considered your fields. I mean, there will certainly be other users, but I think that's something I will continue to work with Parks to work that out.
I appreciate that. And to this point, we have not seen anything in writing addressing that. And so that was one of our reasons for showing up here to make sure
that
got
those are good issues to be folded into the Thomas Cully master planning process. And we invite you to be a part of that.
Thank you.
And finally, I did want to just offer an amendment that further clarifies that it will be coexistence until new fields actually exist. So I'd like to add one more, be it further resolved, that the two Lakeside Little League fields that are part of the park will not be relocated until replacement fields are built at Thomas Cully Park.
Second.
Thank you.
Call the vote on that.
Leonard.
Aye.
Salzman.
Aye.
Sten.
Aye.
Potter.
Aye. Anybody else?
No. But we do have to vote on the final resolution, right?
Need a discussion. Call the vote.
Leonard.
Well, I very much appreciated this discussion today, and I listened carefully to the arguments for the baseball park proponents. It isn't always fun to be in a position where you have people who feel strongly both ways to have to decide. And I would also tell you that I think that I've tried to be as honest as I can when I've had some criticisms of the Parks Bureau and how they've handled processes. But that goes both ways. I think that this process has been engaged in with good faith, and I do think that the commitment I hear from Commissioner Saltzman, which I believe will be fulfilled, and I will encourage further that the Thomas Culley Master Plan needs to be done with the baseball folks so it's done right and done in a way that they feel comfortable with, that will address the concerns we hear today. Having said that, I do have to agree with what Mike Houck said earlier, and you know, Mike said that if we were designing this originally, would you put a baseball field in it? And that got me to thinking just kind of about the history of that whole area of the Columbia Slough and the entire watershed in there. And what we have many things to thank our ancestors for. One of them is not how they treated the environment. And it has been something, this is not a new issue for me. When I was in the legislature, I worked on Columbia Slough watershed issues, including proposing a bill to open up its original headwaters at 174th and Marine Drive with a dike and a floodgate so that in the non-flood seasons it could open and people could canoe from one end of the slough to the other and fish could migrate in it as they used to at one time. I care very deeply about this area. I grew up in this area. And I will tell you that what BES and Parks have done up till date, for those of us who are familiar with what this area looked like, and I'm talking 45 years ago and 40 years ago, it is truly stunning, the transformation that has occurred from what they inherited from our ancestors. So I do think that this cooperation with the baseball folks is important. I will be watching it. I will be helping where I can, but I do have to agree that it is not the best place for the baseball field. This is an area that should be return to its natural state. I think we also have a cultural problem in the country amongst us, where we oftentimes view nature as something that pleases us, that it is there for us to enjoy, that it is there for us to observe. The people we inherited this land from didn't view nature that way. They viewed nature as us living with nature and allowing nature to do what it does in order to sustain life. And I would tell you that the results of both of our cultures speak for themselves. The Chinook Indians lived in this area for 6,000 years until we arrived and sustained themselves and were amongst the most progressive of Native American tribes in the Americas. We've been here for about 170 years and have turned the Willamette and the Columbia Slough into a toilet, a dumping ground, industrial waste, and it is truly, truly shameful. So these are hard choices we're making, but this generation is fixing the errors of the previous four or five generations, and this is amongst the angst that you have to deal with when you're making changes, such as we are having to do. So I hope both sides continue to work together well. I commit to work with Commissioner Saltzman to do the right thing by the baseball folks, but I do think that this is a balanced plan, and it is a good step forward. Aye.
Saltzman.
Well, I want to thank the people who participated in the Master Plan Advisory Committee. I want to thank the senior park staff, well, all the park staff who also participated in this long process. I think it's been a good process. There's been open houses, meetings, and you know, I think like a lot of the heartfelt testimony from many here representing Lakeside Little League, you know, it's hard not to shed a tear when you lose a part of your past. You know, I still think fondly of the two fields in Southwest Portland where I hit my two career Grand Slam home runs in Little League. And, you know, I know if those were ever redeveloped, I would, you know, shed a tear as well. But I do think that the higher and better use of this area is as a natural area, and that we can work with you and definitely provide you new fields at Thomas Colley Park, and that we will work. You have my commitment to continue to work to figure out a way that you can have volunteer opportunities, and it can become remain a lakeside Little League focused field or two. And we'll work out those details through the Thomas Colley Master Plan process. So please to vote aye.
Ben?
Well, I think it's all been said, and I'll just agree. I think this is the right longer-term plan. I appreciate both the passion and the day-to-day hours that Little League puts into your efforts. It's terrific. And I think that this is a absolutely binding and sincere commitment by Commissioner Saltzman and Parks. We won't, the baseball field will be there until something equal or better is in place. And I think with that in mind, we should move forward and take all the energy that's on this room and figure out something that actually moves both agendas ahead. I think it can be done. Aye.
Potter.
I want to thank the Falco family and all those good folks that have been playing out what they call Lakeside for many, many years. It's much appreciated by this city council and the citizens of Portland. Times change. Just as when you built those two fields, things have changed. Part of the property is not even under the control of the city of Portland. It's a school district. But the part that is, I've heard a very firm commitment from members of this council and from me that we'll do everything possible to ensure that as Thomas Colley Park is developed, that it's developed with the replacement of those two ball fields and the community that goes with that. This is in the best interest of the city in the long run to ensure that you folks have a ball field at all times. And I think this proposal does that, but it also, I believe, returns the land to its natural state and provides more opportunity down the road for more citizens to enjoy nature here in the city. I vote aye. Please read the 10:15 time certain.
Item 263, urge the federal government to seek positive diplomatic relations between Iran and the United States of America instead of escalating tensions.
Mr. Stinn.
Well, thank you, Mr. Mayor. And as people take their seats and leave, I just give a few opening remarks. I'm pleased to introduce this resolution today, and I think it's an important one. And perhaps the beginning of a dialogue, perhaps a little bit earlier than some things that have happened in the past. If it wasn't so dangerous and alarming, it would almost be surreal to see the Bush administration begin to send signals, both nuanced and very overt, that it is considering an attack, a military attack on Iran. And it would be almost something that would make you puzzle and scratch your head if we hadn't done exactly the same thing 4 years ago before pursuing what I think was, by these days, almost every estimation, including proponents of that war, a dire mistake and one that has not only taken many, many lives unnecessarily, but has also weakened our own security, weakened this country's position in the world. And so some have said and did say 4 years ago that city halls are not the place to debate foreign policy. And I answer to that, I do not believe we are debating foreign policy today. And also, I think that city halls are perhaps one of the few places where we can have a civil, structured, real dialogue about the issues that our world faces. And anybody who believes these issues are not local does not know anyone who has lost a loved one in the last 4 years on either side of these conflicts. And so I believe that we will not have great forums with this administration or in Washington, D.C., based on the structure. And it's very important that we build these types of forums in our city halls, in our communities, to be able to talk about the issues and to say, you know, we think there's another approach. I don't profess, nor do I think does my co-sponsor, Commissioner Leonard, to be a foreign policy expert. Our resolution simply says that we are urging the administration to look for diplomatic approaches and different ideas. We will listen and be interested, as will all of Portland citizens, to support the right approaches. And there are certainly very, very real issues, both diplomatic and security-wise, that are in the Middle East and with Iran that we have to think about. But we believe that a military escalation conversation is not the right way to go, and we believe that the current conversations have far too much similarity to what was clearly a duplicitous effort to lead the world into war just a very short time ago, a war which we are sadly nowhere near being out of and has not accomplished any of the objectives that were claimed. That being said, I also want to point out very explicitly, Mr. Mayor and Council, to the second half of this resolution, and I think maybe perhaps the bigger point, which is we would like to talk about human relationships, about building friendships. This city has a wonderful long relationship with Iran from our citizens. I had the pleasure of appointing not so long ago one of our my favorite public servants, Mortez Anishirvani, who is the director of Water Bureau for the city of Portland and is well known among the very educated class of Iranian Americans, who many of whom are engineers like Mort. So welcome back, Mort. My mentor, Gretchen Kofori, was a Peace Corps volunteer in the country, and many of you knew, and I think all of us admired, the late Terrence O'Donnell, who started a Friendship City relationship and wrote many world-renowned pieces on the relationships between America and Iran. So what we want to do today is talk about friendship, talk about relations, and say that the path to a different approach to these types of situations in the world is perhaps not led through sound bites, certainly not led through fear-mongering. It's led through breaking down barriers. Iran, like America, is a diverse country. Iran, like America, has factions that take positions that all of us don't believe and don't support. There are many, many different voices, and if we are going to get through what promises to be an extremely challenging future, I think, in this world, in part worsened by what this administration has done in the Middle East, we have got to be able to recognize diversity, communicate with each other, build friendships in these other parts of the world as we are realistic and have real conversations about what needs to be done to make the world a safer place. So it's in that spirit, Mr. Mayor, that we bring this resolution and ask the federal government to seek diplomatic solutions and to ask fellow Portlanders and Americans to join this community, which you can see is well represented in building friendship with Iranians and others throughout the globe who seek a different path. And I'd turn this over to Commissioner Leonard if you'd like to.
Thank you. I would like to say a couple things. I appreciate your remarks, Commissioner Sten. I'm just very pleased to have been offered by Commissioner Sten to co-sponsor this resolution. In my family, I have four first cousins who are of Iranian descent, first-generation Americans. And so I care not just from politically very much about this issue, but also through my family. I'm certainly not a foreign policy expert, but I do enjoy reading and discussing issues that affect the entire world. And I am just so embarrassed at the level of respect that the United States has dropped to in these last few years, vis-a-vis not just the Middle Eastern countries, but European countries who continue to be allies of ours, who have historically been allies of ours, from the peoples of the world that view us as interfering in other people's business that is not our own, which is not to say there aren't issues with the political leadership in Iran. But I would argue that we, as Americans, would concede we have issues with our political leadership in this country. And we would be the first to say, no matter how strongly we are committed to changing that leadership, that is our business. And nobody else in the world has any right to come in here and tell us how we're going to resolve our issues with our political leadership. Unfortunately, our political leadership does not have that same point of view when it comes to countries in general, I would say, but particularly countries that affect or have large oil reserves. And it is that simple issue that has driven the foreign policy in the Middle East more than any other single factor. We need to not only not interfere in those countries' business and not tell them how they need to settle their own disputes, we need to shift our priorities so that we don't allow our future be dictated by our need for oil, which is an entirely another conversation but entirely related to this one. So thank you, Commissioner Sten, for your
Right, and Mayor, we did have an invited panel before we open this up for public testimony, and I'd ask Gudars Ektedari, he's in the back there, my friend, to come up. Gudars is the chair of the Iran-America Friendship Society, and I thought I would ask him to introduce the panel, and we'll ask our invited guest to give us a few words and a little bit of background on how this got here. And I did fail to mention that there is a reason that we picked this day that has nothing to do with military decisions. It is Iranian New Year, and we intend to have a little celebration of that down in the foyer on the first floor after the council is done. So we thought that we'd maybe tie this to a celebration to continue to try and make our point. Good hours.
Thank you. Hello, Mayor, and dear commissioners. I would like to invite my other colleagues from American-Iranian Friendship Council who are going to be testifying, but for the sake of space, I guess I will ask two of them first, and then I will ask the rest. Ms. Zari Santner, I think she is known to all of you. And Targul Saidi, please. Well, I think because Zari had a meeting, so, but it was a park who made us delayed, so.
Yes, I'm paying the price. Good morning, Mayor, members of the council. Zari Santner, 3016 Northwest Luray Terrace, Portland, 97210. I would like to start by thanking Commissioners Eric Stan and Commissioner Leonard for co-sponsoring this resolution. And I encourage all of you to adopt a resolution that advocates for friendship rather than conflict between United States and Iran. I'm a native Iranian, and I moved to this country in 1969. One of my earliest childhood memories is of the summer of 1953, when my family endured a long period of mourning, grief, and fear caused by the bloodshed, which was the aftermath of the overthrow of a democratically elected prime minister, Mohammad Mossadegh, by a CIA-orchestrated coup financed by the United States and British governments. For over a decade, the government and people of the United States were reviled by the Iranian people for helping to abolish democracy in Iran. However, the attitude of majority of Iranian people towards the American people, if not the American government, began to change when they were introduced to the generosity of spirit and the kindness of the American people through the Peace Corps program and the volunteers that became the goodwill ambassadors for the American people. After all, who could resist loving the likes of Gretchen and Stephen Kafoury? Unfortunately, this program of friendship building between the two countries ceased to exist after the revolution, when the people of both countries needed it the most. Neither the Iranian nor the American government has demonstrated a genuine interest in improving the relationship between the two countries. A recent poll in Iran reported that a majority of its citizens still have a lot of affection for American people and want better relations between the two countries. What is needed is a grassroots support by the people of two countries and through their local governments for building relationship rather than fomenting conflict. That is the best way to ensure a long-lasting protection of the national interest of both countries. I applaud the efforts of American-Iranian Friendship Council and your initiative in encouraging a diplomatic rather than a confrontational approach in resolving differences between the two countries. In recent years, we have seen enormous human sufferings in Africa, Asia, Middle East, and America caused by the action of governments or organizations that find it easier to fight rather than make peace. Every one of us must share the responsibility for causing these pains and sufferings unless we are willing to do something about it. I would like to thank you again for your support of this resolution and conclude with a poem by the 13th century Iranian poet and mystic Saadi, titled The Oneness of Mankind. Human beings are members of a whole in creation of one essence and soul. If one member is afflicted with pain, other members uneasy will remain. If you have no sympathy for human pain, the name human you cannot retain.